welcome to the Maitland Church podcast.
It's 1 week to go. 1 week to go. Does anyone remember kind of maybe a few weeks ago, a few months ago, when someone would either post on social media or someone would say, oh, 100 sleeps? And you'd be like, And now, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but 8 sleeps. I say bad news for some, great news for others. 8 sleeps to go. And maybe despite my kind of abrupt declaration of 8 sleeps, maybe you can maintain this like really strong Christmas sense of peace and relaxation, like that Zen 111, kind of on the run up to this Christmas season, to Christmas Day. You've got it all in hand, you know what you're doing, everything's in control, everything's in order. Or maybe it's the complete opposite for you, turn that completely on its head, and rather than the Christmas peace, it's like Christmas frantic and pressure and stress and urgency and help me. One of those two. Which one would you put yourself in? The question is, so are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for what next week has to hold? Kids, are you guys ready for next week?
Yes!
Yes! Kids, are you guys ready for next week?
Yes!
Yes, good. Adults, are you ready for next week?
Yes!
No. Kids, don't lose that Christmas spirit, that excitement that you've got there. Don't become an adult. Don't become an adult. But just think for a second about presents. Think about presents. We're going to do a survey in the room, and complete honesty is required in this moment, okay? Who bought presents last year in the Boxing Day sales? A few? A few? That's commitment. That's forward planning and forward thinking there. Who started to buy presents around the summer, kind of get a few here and there? A few. Who started last week? Okay, a few more. Let's be honest. Who hasn't started? I don't know if that's like on par with, is that the most amount in the room? So most of us haven't started. Well, if you haven't even started your Christmas shopping or Christmas planning or whatever it might be, then nay ye worry, guaranteed the shelves are not going to run out of anything anytime soon. Because the shelves are, they're full of products, they're full of things to buy in for Christmas, and when it comes to gifts and present buying, I don't know, do you struggle with present buying? I don't know where to start when it comes to buying presents for people. There's so many options of things that you could possibly buy. Something new, what's the phrase? Something you want, something you need, something to wear, something to read. There's 4 things at least you have to try and buy. And then there's all the options of shoes and toys and chocolate or clothes or subscriptions or experiences or vouchers or board games or portable neck fans or window herb gardens, whatever it might be that you want to buy. Guarantee, think of anything off the top of your head and somewhere we'll have it. Probably pretty local to us, and if not, Amazon. That's not even to mention all the Christmas food variety, all the variety of Christmas drinks, all the Christmas clothes that you could pick, all the Christmas services going on, all the different Christmas events around, all the Christmas songs to listen to and all that kind of thing. And just kind of, but thinking of all the products on the shelves, as you look at all of them, what are they for? What's it for? Why has someone gone to the effort to make all of that stuff? And there are 2 sides of me when it comes to that question. The first one is the really cheery Christmas side, the cheery Christmas Rob. And that side thinks it's all about seeing the smiles on the children's faces, and it's all about the experience and the Christmas joy and the spreading Christmas cheer for everyone to enjoy Christmas time. It's all designed with you in mind to give you the ultimate Christmas experience, so you could get anything you like from the shops and you could have a wonderful, happy Christmas. And then there's cynical Rob. And that is money. The big business people want the money, and you know, ring-a-ding-ding, we'll get all the money in at Christmas time. We're rolling in it now. So they're the 2 sides. Let's go with the happy side because we prefer the happy side. Why is all that stuff made? It's made to give us that sense of Christmas cheer at this time of year. That's kind of what it's for, and that's why we buy these things as well, isn't it? We buy them to share these things with other people, the gift with people, the food with people, the drinks with people, all that kind of stuff. It's to have that Christmas experience and to share that love with other people. I don't know about you, but kind of thinking about Christmas, for me, it's a lot less about the products that we buy off the shelves. It's more about the people who we spend it with, isn't it? Whether that's our families or our friends or our church family as well, whoever it might be that you spend Christmas with. And I want to ask that same question with us in this room. Not about what are those products made for, but what are you made for? What were you made for? What's the reason for your existence? As we approach this Christmas time, what is the reason for you? And look at the person next to you. What is the reason for them? Maybe you question that yourself sometimes. what's the reason behind them? What are we made for? And you know what? There are so many places, husbands and their wives, no, dear, it's not me. There are so many places we can go in an attempt to try and find that answer, isn't it? What were we made for? So many places we can go. We can spend all the money in the world to try and find that answer. We can watch endless videos on the internet to try and find the answer. We can go to, we can do big internet searches. We can look far and wide across the world. We can go traveling to try and find that answer of who am I? We can ask others' opinions of us. We can go and hear TED Talks or public speakers, that kind of thing. You can come to church if you like. You can check the science. You can do your ancestry test. Has anyone done that? You can get that for Christmas. Another Christmas idea if you want to do that. You can get your ancestry DNA to try and find out who you really are. And try and get that sense of purpose and meaning for your life. What am I made for? Why do I exist for? But often what the world tries to say is this. If you want to try and find the answer to that question, just look inside yourself. Look in yourself to try and find that answer. In fact, we've started, so I've got a 2-year-old, she's just over 2 now. We're kind of gradually discerning, shall we say, which Christmas films for her to watch and what other Disney films for her to watch. Frozen on repeat, please help me, pray for me. I need all, in fact, Frozen and Thomas the Tank, and I'm nearly at it with Thomas the Tank, he's got a lot to answer for. But think of The Lion King. What does Mufasa say? Look inside yourself, Simba. You are more than what you have become. Where do we find the answer to what we are made for? Look inside yourself. Kids are being taught that. We believe that. The world's telling us to do that. To find what you're meant to be, you're meant to look inside yourself. What were you made for? But the thing I want to talk to us about tonight is this. There's one place that we very rarely go to try and find that answer. And yet it's the only place that we can go to find the answer to that question, what were you made for? And tonight we have sung Christmas carols. We'll go on singing a few more carols after this. We've sung Christmas carols. We've sung ancient truths that have spanned the years. We've read from a book which is literally thousands of years old. In fact, on a side note to that, when you go into work tomorrow morning and they say, hey, what did you do over the weekend? If you tell them you've been reading ancient literature, then that's going to blow them away. The readings we've read tonight are 2,000 years old. It's crazy. We've read these stories, we've heard these truths, and all of them revolve around this story of a boy who was born 2,000 years ago. A true story about a saviour, about God, who was born into this world as a baby. And I honestly really believe from the bottom of my heart this evening that to find the answer to that question, what am I made for? That's the place where we've got to go. The Christmas story, the true Christmas story, the story of the baby in the manger. And that story, which is ancient truth, which is still relevant today, it can bring so much purpose and meaning and clarity and understanding to your life. And I guarantee it can bring transformation beyond anything you've ever experienced in your life before. If you want to know what you were made for, you've got to know what this baby came for. If you want to know what you were made for, you've got to understand what this baby came for. And there's so much about Christmas which can get really, really complicated. And so tonight, I'm going to keep it really, really simple. You were made by him to know him. You were made by him to know him. And the issue is this. The issue is that many of us in here, and maybe many in the world around us, don't know him. Don't know this God, don't know Jesus Christ, the baby in the manger who we sing about at this time of year. Many of us don't know him. So hundreds of years before Jesus was born, this was written about him. We read it already tonight, Isaiah 9 verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen what? A great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. So Jesus Christ, this baby, this God-man, he came into a world that was completely devoured by darkness. Anything different there than the world we see around us today? He came into a world which was filled with evil, and people not only were surrounded by this darkness, but they're walking in darkness. The people who are walking in darkness have seen a great light. And I don't know about you, but you look around at the world, don't you, today, and we know there's something not quite right. we've got to know there's something not quite right, because it doesn't, not these things that happen in the world don't sit right with us. And we know that surely there's, we are made for more than this darkness that we see around us, to not just to see this darkness, but to be part somehow of this darkness in the world. And yes, there's the darkness and evil out there. Like, you look around and you see the destruction and the war and the hurt and the hatred and the heartbreak and the pain and just that endless pursuit of pleasure, no matter what the cost, no matter who I hurt, no matter who I trample on. That's what, think about marriages which you've seen which are really struggling sometimes, and it's because of that reason. Because we pursue pleasure in other places. Think about just how we ruin our own lives sometimes, how people ruin their own lives with lots of different things that they bring into their lives, like substances and that kind of stuff, because the pursuit of pleasure, the pursuit of that moment, that experience, kind of trumps everything else. They don't see the result of that. There's darkness out there. But that's not the only darkness. What about the darkness which is in here? And you're not exempt from that, and I'm not exempt from that. Because there's a darkness that exists in every human heart. And that's a spiritual darkness. The Bible speaks of it as this. We've all fallen short of God's standard. We've all, the word the Bible uses is sin. We've all walked away from God and chosen to do our own thing rather than the thing that he wants for us to do. And the tragedy of sin is this. Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have separated you from your God. It's not just that our lives have bad stuff in them or we see bad stuff around us, but the one who we were made to have a relationship with, the one by whom we were made, our sins have separated us from him. We can't know him. We're far from him. And that darkness blinds us from seeing him. That darkness blinds us from knowing him. I'm sure you can agree with me. We're not made for that darkness, are we? We're not made for it, yet that darkness consumes us. We're not made to walk in the darkness and to enjoy it, yet somehow we do enjoy the darkness, don't we? Like, we don't want to maybe sometimes, but we do enjoy it deep down. We walk in the darkness to walk because we prefer to walk our own way rather than God's way. And yet, this is the truth. When we walk away from the God who is light and life, do you remember light and life to all he brings? When we walk away from this God who is light and life, where do we end up? What's the opposite of light and life? Darkness and death. When we walk away from God, that's, yes, we may experience some nice things, but actually the truth is we walk away from the giver of all life and we end up in darkness and death. Death, kind of now we see that, and it's a tragedy in our world, isn't it? But also the Bible speaks about heaven and it speaks about hell as well, and it talks about life being heaven and actually that spiritual death is hell. And that's eternity. And that's a tragedy of a world without Jesus. But, well, in fact, before I go there, the thing is this, no matter how bright our lives may be to those around us or even on the outside, on the inside in our hearts, it might just be pitch black because we don't know the one who is light and life. So I just wonder, are you aware of that darkness in your own heart this evening, in your own life this evening? Do you have Jesus or do you not have Jesus? And if not, then it's darkness. This is what the Bible says, and stick with me on this. Ephesians 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Remember what happens when we walk away from life? We're dead in our sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. That's talking about Satan. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And another verse says this in Romans 6, the wages of sin is death. Merry Christmas. I'm not going to sit down. But actually, I want to say Merry Christmas. Because without Christmas, that's where it ends. That's where it ends, without Christmas Day. So I'm going to say, yes, Merry Christmas. A joy-filled, happy, amazing Merry Christmas, because Jesus Christ has come. Without Jesus, it's a world which is full of darkness, but the light has come. If you want to know what you were made for, we look at what this baby came for. And when Jesus came into the world, the light of the world came into the dark world. He brought light into the darkness. He brought hope for every human heart, for you and for me. For every heart which is consumed with darkness, he brings light. All of those things that the darkness takes away, all those things that cannot truly exist in the presence of darkness, joy, peace, hope, love, satisfaction, life itself. What does Jesus bring? He brings all of them in their most true form, because he is all of those things. That's what Jesus came to do. I don't know about you, but how could we want to live in the darkness anymore when the one who is light and life came to bring those things to you and to me? That's why he came. And not just those things, not just, although that's true, he did come to bring those things, but the even bigger blessing that he came to bring is a relationship with God himself. A relationship with God himself. We read already tonight, John 1:9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and although the world was made through him, how did the world respond? Well, the world didn't recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own didn't receive him. In other words, the one who is light came into the darkness, and the people who were living in darkness said, no thanks, I don't like the light, thank you very much, I'll stay away. It's tragic. And maybe some of us have made that same response so far, up until now. But the hope is this, the God of heaven was born into the darkness that Christmas night to bring light and life. In Luke 2, it says this, the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause what? Great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This baby isn't just a baby. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He's God himself. This God came into this world to help us, to save us. Matthew 1 says, remember, what does the name Jesus mean? He will save people from their sins. He's come to save us, not to leave us dead in our sins, but to save us from them, to drag us out of that pit. And John 3:16, God loves the world so much, he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. The consequence of being away from him, remember, away from light and life is what? Death and darkness. Those who believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And this is the thing, God didn't see us walking away from him and then go off in a strop and a sulk and go into a corner and say, well, you know what, I'm going to leave you to your own devices. You've made that choice. Off you go. Fine. See where that gets you. Actually, he intervenes. The God of heaven, perfect God of heaven, steps into a broken and dark and messy world, not to condemn you for the stuff that you've done, but simply because he wants to bring you back to him, to bring you back to the one who is light and life, not to push you further away into the darkness, but to grab hold of you and to draw you close again. And how? How's he done that? And we have to turn our eyes from the cradle to the cross to find that out. Because the whole purpose of Jesus coming wasn't just to stay a baby and to live a good life and then die. And full stop. But actually he grew and he lived a perfect life that you couldn't live. And he died a death on the cross. The wages of sin is what? His death. And he died that death on your behalf, on my behalf. He faced that wrath of God on your behalf, on my behalf, so guess he doesn't have to anymore? Us. Light and life to all he brings. There's no condemnation in Jesus anymore because he came for us, because he was born to die. His destination was the cross, and he was willing to deal with that spiritual darkness in you. He was willing to deal with that kind of black heart, if you like. He was willing to deal with that and pay the price of the sin and that death that you deserve for your sin. So you no longer have to be far from God, but you can be so, so, so close to him. That's his heart for you. The one who made you, who knows you more than you know yourself, wants you to know him, to come into relationship with him, to have friendship with him, to experience his forgiveness and his freedom and his joy and his peace and his truth and his satisfaction and all those things that come with knowing Jesus. If only you'd reach out and receive him. You can't be passive in this. You stand in one camp or you stand in the other. You're with Jesus or you say, no thanks, I'm going to stay in the darkness. If you want to know what you were made for, you've got to look at what this baby came for. And I guarantee, I don't know all of you inside and out, like I don't know all of your life situations, but what I do know is this, you were made for far more than the daily grind of life. You were made for far more than the fears and anxieties and worries that you have in your life. You were made for far more than just to kind of live and die. You were made for far more to get successful and rich and to make it in this life. Excuse me. You're made for far more than those things. You're made for far more than your own pleasure even. You're made for more than a life without God. You were made to know him. You were made to be in relationship with him. And he came into this earth to bring people who'd run away from him back to him again. But only by our choice. We have to make that decision to accept him and say, actually, Jesus, I trust in what you've done for me, and I'm coming back to you. It's all made possible by Jesus coming into this world. In John 1:12, it says this, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor a husband's decision, a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Not even just come close to me, it's I want you in my family. I want you in my family. And you know what? By right, we're not gods. But Jesus came to buy us back to him. By default, we're not gods. We have to take that step to say, God, I want to be part of your family again. Jesus, I know what you've done for me, and I want that for myself. And I trust in you alone. And not only does he say to us, well, you can come close, you can kind of be my servants, you can hang around me for a little bit. He says, hey, come in, family, family. And so when you take that step to receive Jesus for yourself, it's only then that you can truly, properly realise that the ultimate Christmas experience, whatever that might be in this world, it could be lots of things, but the only ultimate Christmas experience isn't, and it can't be found on a shelf. It isn't to do with a certain brand of premium mince pie or Bailey's. The Bailey's is great. It's not even to do with those who we spend Christmas with. It's not in a Christmas list being fulfilled. Like, kids, for you guys, when you write your Christmas lists, I guarantee next year you'll have another list. Because this year it's not going to be enough. And same with us as adults, we buy and we buy and we buy and we spend and we spend because it's not enough. But when we know that the ultimate Christmas experience comes from knowing Jesus, that changes everything. And nothing can compare to that. Because he is the one who stepped down from perfect glory into this broken, deep darkness and mess. The perfect one entered a world saturated by sin. God came to earth, born as a baby for you. And like Michael read earlier on, I just want to read that again. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. He was bringing everyone, us back to him because of Jesus. Not counting people's sins against them anymore. Thank goodness for that. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Come back to him. God's got his hand out. He's saying, look, come back to me. God made him who had no sin be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Our need and your need is to know God. And God's desire is that you know him, that you come to know him, not as a God out there, but as a friend and as someone who has invited you into his family. And so, whoever you are, insert your own name here. You're made for so much more. So much more.